Hi guys, welcome to English Digest. I'm Pat.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
So today we're talking about Mother's Day, and we're going to talk about the title is The Driving Spirit Behind Mother's Day.
Mm.
So we're going to talk a bit about where the idea of Mother's Day came from in the U.S.
In the U.S.
Yes.
And Pat just shared with me that they actually celebrate Mother's Day on a different day.
Completely different
day. Where he's from, and that's England.
Yeah. Yes, we celebrate ours on the second Sunday in March.
Wow.
So, of course, this article is May, so I already had Mother's Day this year. A couple of months ago,
yeah.
I sent a little message to my mum.
Good.
I was busy that day. I didn't get it in the evening, so I didn't get a chance to speak with her with the time difference. But we did send a message from my brothers and myself to kind of more make fun of her than anything. But maybe once we get to the end of this article, I'll give you a bit of history about about the British Mother's Day, why it's that day and why we call it that
day.
Cool. But we've got to look at the American Mother's Day first, so let's read through our article and find out more about it. Mother's Day is a day on which people pay homage to the sweetest woman in the world, their mom. It's a time to reflect on all the wonderful things our mothers have done for us and to express our gratitude to them. Hence, it might come as a surprise to learn that Mother's Day has a gloomy history. The tradition began in the 1850s when an American woman named Anne Jarvis set up Mother's Day work clubs, which encouraged women to do volunteer work to improve sanitary conditions. In addition, the women would attend to wounded soldiers on both sides of the U.S. Civil War. When Anne passed away, her daughter Anna Jarvis wanted to honor her mom. Thus, she organized the first Mother's Day observance on May 10, 1908 in her hometown. The idea spread like wildfire across cities and states in the U.S. In 1914, Mother's Day was deemed by U.S. President Woodrow Wilson to be a national holiday celebrated on the second Sunday of every May. Within a few years, big business jumped on the Mother's Day bandwagon. Companies, eager to profit from gift sales, launched advertisements associating Mother's Day with material comforts. They urged people to buy flowers, candy, and greeting cards for their moms. The commercialization of Mother's Day deeply disturbed Anna. She felt corporations had usurped Mother's Day and changed its meaning. As a result, she organized boycotts against these companies. Her actions progressively became so aggressive that she was arrested and eventually institutionalized. Anna could have profited from Mother's Day if she'd wanted to, but in the end, for her ideal, she died penniless in a sanitarium. Despite her hardships, Anna Jarvis's efforts were not totally in vain. Millions of people around the globe continue to honor the true spirit of Mother's Day by showing their mums how deeply they are appreciated and loved.
Okay, guys, let's look at the title here first, The Driving Spirit Behind Something. If there's a driving force, a driving spirit, a driving idea, it's something that's pushing something or propelling something forward. Who's the driving force in your family? Who's the driving spirit behind this idea? Who's the driving force behind this project? What's getting it going? What's activating it? What's launching it? So what's behind Mother's Day? How do we have this? I'd never heard this history before, so this is really interesting to me.
Mm.
I thought we'd always had Mother's Day in America. I love Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
We have different national holidays honoring different people, like our fathers, our mothers,
or the
Children's
presidents,
Day.
Founding fathers,
yeah.
And so on.
But there's no one more important in our lives, I think, than our moms.
Mm.
Yeah.
So the article begins, Mother's Day is a day on which people pay homage to the sweetest woman in the world, their mom.
Yeah.
Okay, so pay homage to, this is a phrase meaning to honor somebody, and it's openly, it's not in secret. You pay homage to, you publicly do it. So you tell your mom and the whole world how much you appreciate what they've done. So, for example, often in movies, if a director wins wins an award for a movie, he will pay homage to the directors that influenced him when he was growing up. They often talk about where they, you know, what started them on the path to becoming a movie maker. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they pay homage to films they love by including little references in their own movies to them. They kind of throw in these little things that you wouldn't notice unless you knew it was there.
Unless you're a fan.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, I'm going to honor, which is another way to say pay homage to honor someone. I'm going to honor someone who's influenced me by doing something.
Yeah. Well, it's a time on Mother's Day to reflect on all the wonderful things our mothers have done for us and to express our gratitude or thanks to them for all they've done for us. Now, if you reflect on something, you think rather deeply about something. So you don't just casually, you know, consider it. You really think, you know, quietly and deeply about something that's influenced or you or had an impact on your life. So if you reflect on the wonderful things your mother's done, you think back on all the hours she devoted to raising you, to taking care of you. You know, I used to say to someone, you notice that when a child cries, they never say dad. They always say mom. They want their mom. My dad would tell us to stop crying.
Okay, yes, I expect mine would too.
But my mom would say, oh, come here, you know, and try to make us feel better.
They're there.
Yeah, your gratitude is your thankfulness for something. If you're grateful, you're showing your gratitude. So it's just the quality of really trying to show appreciation for someone, what they've done for you.
So we've got all these nice feelings, obviously, here about Mother's Day. Hence, or therefore, is another way to say hence, it might come as a surprise to learn that Mother's Day has a gloomy history.
So
it's not all pleasant, as we find out. So gloomy here kind of means it causes a feeling of depression or sadness. You could also use gloomy to describe someone who's feeling those emotions. Someone could be in a gloomy mood. They're feeling upset or sad.
Or the day is kind of gloomy.
Yes, gloomy can describe the weather, either because the clouds are blocking the sun or because it's the evening and the sun is going down. And, it's getting kind of gloomy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's time to go home because the sun's going down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of got these feelings of dark, you know, kind of not as much light, which is where we get the word gloomy. And we've got a gloomy history to talk about with Mother's Day.
Well, the tradition, at least in the United States, began back in the 1850s. There was an American woman, her name was Anne Jarvis, and she set up Mother's Day work clubs. These clubs were women, mothers were encouraged to volunteer their time and work to improve sanitary conditions. So if you're talking about sanitary conditions, you're talking about how clean something is. You know, back in our history, we really didn't have very sanitary conditions.
Yes, we didn't understand water, clean water and clean air
That dirty things could actually lead to disease and people getting sick and dying. So if you're talking about sanitation or hygiene, you're talking about keeping things clean and free of germs, especially your water and maybe your bathroom facilities.
Putting it outside the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So she encouraged people. She got them to. She kind of put this feeling in them to do volunteer work, to kind of without pay, just to get things cleaner. In addition, the women would attend to or care for, take care of wounded or hurt, injured soldiers on both sides of the U.S. Civil War, which was the 1860s, the start of that decade. Mm-hmm. So kind of ten years later.
Yeah.
The U.S. Civil War, of course, between the northern states and the southern states. Terrible time for the country. But these women would attend to both sides of the war, the north and the south, just to make sure that the wounded soldiers got taken care of.
Yeah, she didn't care if they were fighting for the North or the South. She just wanted the women to be out there helping those poor wounded boys. A lot of those soldiers were quite young.
Mm.
Actually, there were older men fighting the war back then because everybody was fighting.
Yeah, they kind of ran out of people.
Yeah, they were fighting to keep their part of the land, I guess, or fighting for what they believed in. Now, when Anne passed away, when the original Anne Jarvis died, her daughter, who was named Anna Jarvis, very similar to her mom, she wanted to honor her mom and show her respect for her own mother. So what did she do? Well, she organized the first Mother's Day observance on May 10th, 1908. So So that's when it first started. When you have some sort of day and you consider it to be an observance of something, it means you just honor a certain day or a certain idea by observing certain actions. Maybe you believe that the Sabbath day is holy, so you observe the Sabbath day, which means you go to church and you try not to spend money on Sunday, things like that. So if you observe something, especially religiously or because of a special occasion, you do particular actions which show you respect that particular day.
Yeah, you could observe Lent by fasting.
Sure.
It's a period of like 40 odd days or so.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, people like don't eat meat or don't eat other things. They give something up, chocolate or candy, just for that time. And that's an observance.
Mm-hmm.
So this idea spread like wildfire across the cities and states of the U.S. So this is quite a picturesque, kind of a descriptive phrase.
True.
Wildfire is fire that's out of control. It's fire, you know, that's just kind of sprung up. Maybe there's some oil or other fuel on it, and it can't be controlled and put out easily.
Mm-mm.
And wildfire spreads, like a forest fire or a fire in a barn. You just kind of need to isolate it and sort of move things away from it. And so when we say something spreads like wildfire, what we mean is it spreads very quickly and almost unstoppably, like you couldn't stop that thing.
Yeah, sometimes gossip spreads like wildfire.
Oh, yeah, rumor. Yeah, good juicy rumor. Suddenly everybody knows it.
People love gossip, especially in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it spread like wildfire across cities and states in the U.S. So the whole country was hearing about Mother's Day, and they thought, ooh, this is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then in 1914, U.S. President Woodrow Wilson, he deemed Mother's Day to be a national holiday. If something's a national holiday, it means people don't have to work. The government says, no, you don't have to work. And that holiday would be celebrated on the second Sunday of every May.
Hmm.
Of course, most people don't work on Sunday.
I think he just kind of made it official, really.
So, yeah, this is going to be a national holiday.
Yeah.
Kind of like Christmas.
Yeah, it's just saying that, you know, before it's kind of been informal, now let's make it formal.
Let's put it on the calendar.
And he would probably do something. You know, he would probably thank his, you know, his mother or all mothers on behalf of the nation.
Yeah.
So here we use the word deem, and deem is a verb, and it means to believe or to regard something in the specified way, and you usually deem, when you say it, you usually add something to explain what he thinks.
True.
So he deems Mother's Day to be a national holiday. So he believes, come on guys, this is a real holiday. This is a proper, official, national holiday. So we've got to kind of celebrate it as such. So he sort of made it official during his time, because he believed, he deemed that it was one. There was no point in it being an informal holiday anymore.
Not anymore. Every once in a while, presidents or prime ministers of countries will decide that they want to make a particular day special or honor a particular mm-hmm. memory or person. Just recently in the U.S., we had Martin Luther King Day, deemed to be a national holiday. We would like more national holidays, always.
Want more days,
right? Everybody wants more national holidays. Well, within a few years of that happening, big business jumped on the Mother's Day bandwagon.
Oh, dear.
To jump on a bandwagon means that you join something that's becoming very popular. You see that it's spreading. It's fashionable. So you want to get involved,
too. You just start following the trend, really. It's seldom used in a complimentary way. We usually use jump on the bandwagon in a kind of negative way. Like, it was already popular. You didn't invent this thing.
You're a follower.
Yeah, rather than a leader.
Uh-huh.
We'll find out exactly what they did in just a few moments, but right now we're going to take a short break.
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, guys, welcome back. We're talking about Mother's Day, and we found out how it had such a nice history. A daughter, Anna Jarvis, wanted to honor her mom.
Mm.
The whole of the states, the U.S., thought it was a great idea. It was made official. But then things started to maybe take a turn for the worse as big business jumped on the Mother's Day bandwagon. And this is what they did. Companies who were eager to profit from gift sales launched advertisements or advertisements, both pronunciations okay, to associate Mother's Day with material comforts. So they were eager to profit. They wanted money, like all companies do. They wanted to get money from gift sales. So they launched, or they kind of started off, they introduced these advertisements, or advertisements, as I said, both okay, commercials. And they started saying, okay, let's make, you know, Mother's Day is now kind of official, so let's see if we can make some money off this.
Yeah, so they'd say, oh, if you really love your mom, you have to buy her flowers.
Yes.
If you really love your mom, you would buy her chocolate.
Yeah, gift
if you
cards,
really love your mom,
take her out to a restaurant.
You'd spend a lot of money on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Material comforts include things like money, having things that make your life pleasant.
Yeah.
Material comforts are the things that we all want more of, actually.
Yeah. It could be a new bag, new clothes, new hat,
but really,
new scarf, shoes.
All you need to do to help your mom is maybe do something nice that doesn't cost money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She would. I'm sure my mom wouldn't mind being taken out to a nice restaurant.
Yeah, no
something
kidding.
Like that. But she wouldn't say it's necessary.
She'd want a kiss and for you to
actually remember. I think she'd be happy enough if we just remembered.
That's because you're a boy. Guys don't remember dates.
Ah. Okay, so they associated Mother's Day with material comforts. They basically said they linked them together. Mm-hmm. That's why we say associate. So Mother's Day equals get her stuff.
Yeah.
Which, you know, maybe isn't really the true meaning. But still, they urged people to buy flowers. They said, you got to do it. They kind of pushed people a little bit. Buy flowers, buy candy, buy greeting cards for your mom. So a greeting card is like a birthday card or Christmas card. But here it's specifically for Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. You mean so much to me, and so on.
Yeah, and the advertisements would go so far as to tell you you're a bad son or daughter if you didn't buy your mom something. So, they really urged or strongly encouraged people to buy things for their moms. You definitely at least had to get her a card, you know, or make a card. Little kids in school, at least in elementary school in the U.S., make their Mother's Day presents in school in their art class, which is always
fun. Like something we would have done.
Yeah. We're calling this commercialization of Mother's Day something that is kind of negative. If you commercialize something, you turn something that has kind of a nice, sensitive meaning into something that has to do with money or making money. If you commercialize something, the whole idea is to make a profit.
Mm.
And that's not why Anna Jarvis wanted to set up Mother's Day to begin with, right?
Exactly.
No.
It deeply disturbed Anna, this whole idea. So to disturb here, it's a verb, and it can mean to bother someone when they're busy, like someone's trying to work and you disturb them. But here it more means to make someone feel anxious or bothered or upset because of what's happened. So it's not disturbing her like she's trying to do stuff and they're stopping her from doing it. It's disturbing her. It's making her feel upset. It's like, no, guys, you got it wrong. This is not what I wanted. I'm upset. I'm disturbed.
Sometimes we'll actually use disturbed to describe someone who's mentally unstable. You know, he's very disturbed, which means he's not mentally okay. He needs help. So it really bothered her. She was very upset by this. She felt that corporations or big businesses had usurped Mother's Day. If you usurp something, you take control of something that really doesn't belong to you, right? So she said this was about children letting their mothers know how much they appreciated all they had done for them. Instead, now it's about businesses making a big dollar or some profit.
Yeah.
That's just wrong.
Yeah, big corporations, kind of big companies with sort of multiple businesses under the one company.
Yeah.
They were doing this, and so she didn't take this lying down. She decided she was going to fight back.
She's going to fight and protest.
Yes. As a result, the article says, she organized boycotts against these companies. This is an interesting word, boycott. It can be a verb and it can be a noun. It's actually named after a person whose name was Boycott, who originally said, like, no, we're not following this. We're not doing this. He kind of fought against he was an Irish landowner, I think, or a Scottish landowner who fought
Boycott,
the government.
Boycott, Captain C.C. Boycott.
Yes, this is the guy. So this is named after a person, but the verb boycott or the noun boycott, as a noun, it means a refusal to buy or handle goods as a protest or a punishment against a company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this happened in Taiwan last year when there was all the gutter oil scandals. People boycotted, to use the verb, or had a boycott against, as a noun, the company. And they said, we're not buying your oil or some of the milk from that company.
Because you sold us
Yeah, because there was gutter oil, in it. So yeah. there were boycotts against that company. So it still happens today.
Well, her actions progressively became so aggressive that she was arrested and eventually institutionalized. If something happens progressively, it means it happens over time. So as time went by, she became more and more aggressive. If you're aggressive, you're a little bit hostile. You could say, you know, I want to mention this because I've had clients who will post job advertisements and say they're looking for an aggressive employee.
Hmm.
That's not the right term. You want a proactive employee. Aggressive gives you the feeling that they're ready to fight, and you're not wanting to hire someone who wants to fight or be confrontational. So don't use aggressive. Use proactive, a real go-getter.
Mm-hmm.
Here we're saying her actions became more and more likely to fight people, to
yes,
hit out, to
yeah.
strike people.
Yeah, instead of just saying we're not buying that stuff, they're maybe, you know, maybe throwing bricks through the windows of stores that sell the stuff.
Like hurting people.
You know,
yeah,
maybe hitting whoever, you know, smacking the salesman with a walking cane or something.
You can protest, but you need to remain peaceful. You don't need to hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she was eventually institutionalized,
ooh,
which means they kind of said she was insane. They
yeah.
basically officially declared that this person is either causing too much trouble or has too many problems, so we're going to kind of officially get a doctor's stamp that says kind of like,
she needs to be locked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, she needs to be put away.
Yeah. Anna could have profited from Mother's Day if she'd wanted to. But in the end, for her ideal, this was her ideal. This is the thing she wanted most, was just to honor her mother. And she wouldn't back down from her beliefs. She died penniless in a sanitarium. If you're penniless, or penniless, it means you have no money at all.
Mm-hmm.
You are so poor, you can't afford anything. A sanitarium is a place where we used to put people who had long-term illnesses, long-term diseases, and they needed help being taken care of. But we'd also put people who had mental problems
yes.
in there, too.
So this is an institution, which is where we get that word institutionalized
yeah.
from the previous sentence, because she was put in an institution, in this case a sanitarium, to kind of keep her from hurting anybody, keep her from hurting herself, and mm-hmm. kind of maybe keep her out of the way.
And she couldn't just leave if she wanted
yes,
to. She
would
was
have
locked
to be
in there.
Declared okay to leave.
Yeah.
So it was an unhappy ending for Anna Jarvis. But the article says, despite her hardships, mm-hmm. Anna Jarvis's efforts were not totally in vain. So hardships is talking about what she'd suffered, okay? If a hardship is difficult times you go through, difficult things you have to do, and so her hard times were all of these fights she was doing, having against the companies,
mm-hmm.
going to an institution, you know, being in trouble with the law or the government, all this kind of pressure that she was under, and the difficulty and the disturbed feeling she had. Those are her hardships, and she went through a lot.
She really did. But it says here, despite that, or even though she had these hardships, her efforts were not totally in vain. If something's in vain, it means everything you've done is wasted. You know, it's just like you never did it because nothing good happened. But they weren't in vain or not totally wasted. Some good came of it because now millions of people around the globe continue to honor the true spirit of Mother's Day by showing their moms how deeply they are appreciated and loved. And like I said, you don't have to spend a fortune on your mom
mm-hmm.
to let her know you love her. You could do little things. Although I have to say, the best present I ever gave mom for Mother's Day was to surprise her by flying home one year from New York.
Nice.
And I didn't tell her.
Mm-hmm.
And I flew in, I stayed overnight at a brother and sister's house so she wouldn't know I was in town. And then I snuck in the door in the morning, Dad let me in, and then I was just at the breakfast table when she walked
oh, wow.
in, and I thought I was going to give her a heart attack.
Or something.
Her face went white, like, you know, she
yeah.
couldn't believe I was there. So sometimes it is fun to just, you know, do more
do
than
fun.
The ordinary.
Yeah.
And that costs a little money.
We used to give her breakfast. I remember making breakfast in bed for
oh,
her on
yeah.
Mother's Day. Just like getting her, you know, maybe a bowl of like a muesli cereal, a half grapefruit,
uh-huh.
a little pot of coffee or tea or something.
You gave her cereal?
Well, no, like muesli cereal. The,
okay.
good kind.
Okay.
Not breakfast, kids breakfast, sugary
okay.
stuff.
Okay.
And we'd take that up and give it to her.
That's
my
kind of the tradition. I think, at least for Western culture, is to make breakfast in bed for mom.
Mm.
So I would try to make her French toast or pancakes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd actually cook, Pat.
Yes. Well, we were a little young for that, I think, so maybe it wasn't necessarily advisable for us to try that.
You could have poisoned your own mother.
Or burnt the house down, something like that. Yeah, so, but of course that was in England, and as I mentioned at the very start of our lesson today, England's Mother's Day and the UK and in some other countries related to the Commonwealth, it's earlier. It's in March. Ours is the second Sunday in March. And the reason for that is that Mother's Day has a slightly different history for the UK.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to this idea that on this particular Sunday in March, everybody would return to their mother church, which was usually either the most important church in their local area, mm-hmm. or maybe the church they went to when they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was why it was called kind of Mothering Sunday, because you return to your mother church.
Oh.
And now, of course, when you did that, if you had grown up and maybe moved away, you'd probably be going back home for that Sunday. So you would see your mother,
mom.
Because presumably she was still in the area. And so by going to your mother church, it became a kind of family get-together thing as well. So that is where this idea of Mothering Sunday, as the full name is in the UK, comes from. And then since the American Mother's Day has appeared, the two of the ideas in this article that we've talked about American Mother's Day, the honoring the mother, and also the gift-giving stuff, because we have kind of suffered a bit from that as well. But they've kind of blended. They've got together. So we do these things, but it's just on an earlier day.
And is it actually called Mothering Sunday?
It is called Mothering Sunday.
Not Mother's Day.
It kind of is both. The older name is Mothering Sunday, and that's still often used. But Mother's Day is still pretty common, and most people would say that.
I didn't know that. That's
so that is why ours is earlier, and the slightly different history of ours. But it's been affected by the Mother's Day we've talked about today to kind of bring them in line with what people do around the world.
Well, and as our listeners know, in Taiwan, we celebrate Mother's Day on the same day that the U.S. celebrates
Right.
And I've seen a lot of people get gifts and cards and flowers, things like that for their moms here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, that is the end of today's article. We've talked a lot about Mother's Day in different countries. So the question is, what are you guys out there, what are our listeners going to do that's nice for your mom? What are you going to do to make her feel special?
Don't forget your mom.
Exactly. So for English Digest, I'm Pat.
I'm Stephanie.
We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.